pretty somewhere pretty basic. I would love for you to explain what has really shaped your beliefs as a young man, and what has shaped your political opinions.
I'll try to be brief. It's a very big question. Yes. So I'll begin with the philosophical response. I have come to conclude, and only in the last few years, which is remarkable because I thought I came to big conclusions earlier in life, I am 100% convinced that some human beings have built-in values and some do not. This is both wonderful and terrible. It's wonderful because there will always be some remarkably good human beings. It is terrible because it's not the majority by any means. I was preoccupied from high school with what I'm preoccupied with today, good and evil. I didn't know if I was liberal. I didn't know if I was conservative. I only knew that I wanted good to defeat evil. I have a hatred for evil. My favorite verse in the Bible is, "Those who love God must hate evil. If you don't hate evil, you do not love God." Many religious people in history did not hate evil. Some even did evil, and I'm religious. So it was built into me, a lot of this. I take no credit for it. It just is. I was deeply influenced by my religious upbringing, in my case, Judaism. And so biblical Hebrew is like English to me. It's a gift, a real gift of my education. And the first five books of the Bible in particular shaped me, my thinking very deeply. It's called the Torah, and that's why I'm writing over the last 10 years a commentary on each of the five books. Three are finished. I have two more to go, Numbers and Leviticus. I truly believe that if people understand those five books, the world will be a good place. Or to put it even more basically, you may have heard the incredible idea called defund the police that the Democrats came up with in 2020. Mm-hmm. Pay police less money, have fewer policemen. So my answer is, if you want to defund the police, have everybody live by the Ten Commandments. That is my motto. So all of that shaped me. Politically, I was a Democrat until Reagan. Reagan said one thing, and I became a Republican. You can change a person in one sentence. That's why when people ask about PragerU videos, they're only 5 minutes. So you don't need 5 minutes. A great idea can change you in one sentence. And he said, government is not the solution, it is the problem. And I realized that's it. I can no longer identify with any party that wants the government to get bigger. Because I'm preoccupied with evil, I know that the genocides of the 20th century, the most genocidal century in history, were all committed, except in Rwanda, which is the one exception. 99% of the murdered people, because of ideology, were murdered by big governments. Why people love big government, given the amount of evil big government has done, shows you how reason is post-French Enlightenment, reason has declined, not increased, in the Western world. the government issue is a huge issue. And as I will say in my talk here, this is my final comment on this question, but feel free to ask 10 more. The human being does not yearn to be free. The human being yearns to be taken care of. And people will always trade their freedom for money. Free lunch, free breakfast, free rent, free tuition, free health care, free. If it's free, they'll take it. But it always comes with the price of liberty.
But what about this minority you are talking about that treasure freedom more than money, liberty?
Well, they have to make the case. I believe that you can persuade. Let's put it this way. I think, roughly speaking, one third of humanity has built in yearning to be free. One third wants to be taken care of more than to be free. And the battle is for the other third. In America, the tragedy in America is not how much the left has ruined. And it ruins everything. Everywhere, there is no exception since Lenin. The tragedy is the liberal who does not hold left-wing values. They, for example, they believe in free speech. They do not support black graduations. They do think the human race is male and female, not non-binary. They vote left. If liberals voted their values in America, no Democrat would be in office. That's the tragedy.
So I would like you to sort of describe the state of freedom of speech in America as you see it right now.
It increased with Elon Musk taking over Twitter.
Yeah.
Let me give you the good news. Again, there is no example since Vladimir Lenin. I speak Russian. Communism was my field of study at Columbia University. So I know this subject very well. I know the left very, very well. There is no example in the world of the left in power and allowing free speech. Whether it is in power at Columbia University, which is the least free speech university in the United States, where I went, as it happens, or on Twitter or Facebook, or politically, and there's a reason. Why do they try to stop us conservatives from speaking on a college campus? They have 4 years to indoctrinate those students, but they know in their heart, we can change their mind in 90 minutes. They have 4 years, we have 90 minutes, and they are afraid of us. We are not afraid of their speaking. I do a national radio show in America. Just 2 days ago, my final broadcast before coming to Denmark, I had a major liberal journalist, Juan Williams, on my show for 40 minutes. I love when they speak on my show. I invite them all the time. I believe that the more the left is allowed to speak under our auspices, the better it is for us. But they don't believe that. It's proof of the intellectual emptiness of the left that they cannot handle 90 minutes of a conservative. Ben Shapiro went to Berkeley. They had $600,000 spent on security. You know about that? Yes. It's mind-boggling. He opened up his speech, says, look at me. He's very open about it. He's not a very tall guy. He's brilliant and he's everything. Anyway, and he goes, they're afraid of me? Is that a joke? Of course it's a joke. But they're afraid of him because he's persuasive. Every time I have spoken at a college, there's been demonstrations, which is fine, which is fine. But there's always calls not to allow me or not to allow Shapiro or Jordan Peterson or any other major conservative speaker. They're afraid of people hearing us. Anyway, the bottom line is the left always suppresses free speech, from Lenin to Columbia University.
But the strategy the left has pursued in America is a very smart one, because they have conquered the institutions from within. This entity that was founded by Trump, actually, and signed by him and Kirsten Nielsen, she was the head of DHS at the time. The center, it's called CISA. It's where the big tech companies meet with the FBI, CIA, and they map the threats to their power, their interest, actually. And you know, you can define it as misinformation, disinformation, and false information. And you can, if they, bureaucracy decides what is, the game is over. You know, you have to, it's a long fight to, because they have all the power. And even if Trump should come back, it's a long road ahead to.
Well, your point about conquering the institutions is key.
Yeah.
So I have a very basic statement about life. Everything the left touches, it destroys. And it began in the arts, by the way. I am very involved in music, so I know music. What the left did to music in the 20th century was announce all prior rules of music do not apply. You do not need tonality, you do not need harmony, and you do not need melody. So, but it, when you remove tonality, harmony, and melody, all you have are sounds of instruments. You don't have music. And they did that, of course, in the visual arts. There was an article in the New York Times arts section this week. You should all look it up. It was priceless. So the modern painter Mondrian, they had I don't remember what museum, a piece of Mondrian was hanging. And after a while, they realized it was upside down. Now, how could you not know that? Because there's no such thing as upside down and right side up on the left. That's the whole point. Right side up is a conservative concept. Upside down is a conservative concept. For the left, there is no upside down. So they started in the arts, and it's everywhere. In Oregon, the Oregon Education Department announced there is no one correct answer in mathematics. 2 and 2 is 4 is conservative and white supremacist. So every institution, medicine in America, my brother is a professor of medicine. This is very painful to me because he's a wonderful human being. But his profession has been conquered by the left. There are many individual wonderful doctors. There are many individual wonderful everything. But the American Medical Association announced years ago, 2-3 years ago, that the sex of a child should not be listed on a birth certificate.
So where does this come from? Because if you say you studied communism, to me it's the same thing.
Yes, it is. Where does it come from? You have asked the question I have pursued all of my life. What animates the desire to destroy what is good? I don't have a perfect answer, but here is where I enter my religious side. In my commentary on Genesis, I point out that when God creates in the sixth period, 6 days, whatever you want to refer to it, he only creates three things. So the word create in Hebrew is only used three times. With the world in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. When God created the human being and God created the great animals. What does God do then the rest of the time? He makes order out of chaos. The second verse of the Bible is, and it was all chaos, tohu vavohu in Hebrew. It really means chaos. The left is undoing the divine order. It hates order. It hates right and wrong, beautiful and ugly, man and woman, God and man. It hates distinctions. And it apparently loves chaos. I believe it's because their inner life is chaotic. And the ordered world disturbs them. I don't know why. I don't have a chaotic inner life, so I can't fully relate to it. Why doctors would take girls' breasts off at the age of 18, thinking they're doing a good, is unanswerable, except by chaos. We have entered chaos. Do you know that we're up to 500,000 17 to 25-year-olds in the United States who say they are the opposite sex? This has nothing to do with their inner soul. This is all created by the left. You're not really a boy. You're not really a girl. Disneyland does not say boys and girls. All of its history, when you went to Disneyland, Disney World, welcome boys and girls. Not anymore, because it's non-binary. They made this up.
So maybe going on that, it's so massive, this sort of, not reorganization, but throwing everything into chaos with all the different, you're talking about all the categories.
Every category, yes, is chaos.
So do you think that is part of the explanation for the success of your YouTube channel, where it's just very simple ideas just being told in a straightforward manner?
I do think that, to repeat what you said, a part of the success of PragerU, Prager University, is we follow Einstein's rule. Make things as simple as possible, but not simpler. Mm-hmm. Simple does not mean simplistic. The left is simplistic. But yes, there are basic simple truths to life. And like, here's a simple truth. There is a price paid for everything. You must know the price before you do anything. When people buy something, don't they first ask how much does it cost? But they don't ask it with regard to energy. If in fact we move to solar and wind, what is the price? No one, the left never asks what is the price. They're like children. It will be free. But look at what is happening to the economies in Europe and the United States because of this fantasy of living off solar and wind. They're not even for nuclear power. It shows they live in a make-believe world. If they were for nuclear power, I would have respect for them.
Do you believe in the apocalypse?
Do I believe in the apocalypse? You mean in the Christian sense of the word?
Or in the climate sense?
No, in the moral sense. Okay. That you talk about the destruction.
Right. So, basically, tell me if I'm right. You're asking, what will this lead to?
The final.
Well, so, yes. Well, we're living in the final. When you have 500,000 young Americans saying they're not a boy or a girl, we're in that stage now. What can be more chaotic? Crazy.
Can I challenge that?
Yes.
Because I think you may know that Sweden used to be the most progressive country when it comes to gender change for,
yes.
for children, right? Denmark used to be extremely progressive as well. Something is changing. Without really having a debate about it, Sweden has now, they are the most conservative country in all of Europe. Now you cannot get any hormones until you are 18. It used to be whenever the child wanted to.
Okay? Right.
And if the Denmark is following, what I think is we are seeing that there are negative impacts on children, of course, when they change gender, when they take hormonal blockers, all this. And then medicine is quietly just changing their practice. So this could be significant in a way that maybe it has peaked, maybe the madness has peaked, because now we see a lot, we will see a generation of young saying, my life was destroyed because of these ideas. Because the truth, I think the truth always comes out at one point. So don't you think that maybe it could actually be, like it could have peaked now?
Thank you for asking the question. I have wrestled with this question.
Yeah.
So I have a very sad response as an American. America right now is the worst country in the world on this issue. The left in America is much further chaotic than the left in Europe,
yeah.
Sweden, Denmark, or anywhere.
Yeah.
So will eventually these people be regarded as having been sick, sadistic, cruel, and abusive? Yes. Will you live to see that? I don't know. One day, this will be looked upon, this period in American life, as sicker than the witch trials. The country has gone mad, and the maddest are the most intellectual, the best educated, and here is my point, the most secular. As I have said, and I mean this literally, the left keeps me more religious than religious people do. The left proves to me the need for the Judeo-Christian value system. They are living proof of when you abandon it, the chaos that ensues. But I want you to understand, you have something in Europe, and because I keep asking, how is this possible? Sweden is more conservative than the United States. The UK shut down its biggest transgender center. And America just keeps moving on in this arena, and Canada too, by the way. Canada's is awful. Well, Canada's run by Fidel Castro, so it's a Fidel Castro lover.
His
right, his son, yes, exactly. And you have an advantage in European countries that is not spoken of much. Even in secular Sweden or secular Denmark, there is a sense of civil rules that you live in non-diverse countries. The left in America says diversity is our strength. It's not our strength. It's not any country's strength unless everybody shares similar values. That's why one of the three mottos of America in Latin is E pluribus unum, from many, one. If everybody believed that, diversity would be fine. You don't have diversity. The New York Times repeatedly says, oh, Finland, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, they're the happiest countries in the world, not America. Yes. But the same editorial, or the same page, not the same editorial, says diversity is our strength. But Finland is not diverse. 99% speak Finnish, have the exact same Protestant background, look the same. These are not diverse countries. So that's a big advantage, ironically. And I don't care if you're black or white. I care what your values are. But the left divides by color and no common value system. This is why America is now behind Europe. This is the first time in my life that I think America is a net exporter of bad ideas.
Yeah, we definitely see that in Denmark, where the ideas from the American campuses are directly transported to the Danish campus, and then it spreads from society to rest of society from there. Just the idea of safe spaces.
You have safe spaces in Danish universities.
Yeah, it's starting, and also the idea of the identity politics
gender fluidity and all the
identity politics. That's right.
It's because it has infected academia. And then it spread from there. But I will say that population in Denmark is pretty sick of it. And this current election.
What percentage of Danes go to university?
Too many.
Too many is true in every country.
Yeah.
But what's the number? Do you know?
I think we're around 30% now.
Right.
The generation.
So the more that go, the more you'll have this.
Yeah, exactly. So how... you seem to have a great success with young people. Also, you could also name John Peterson, Ben Shapiro. So my first question is, can that create a little bit of optimism on your side?
So, okay, can it create optimism on my part? Is that what you're asking? So I have an answer about optimism and pessimism. I never personally ask myself, am I optimistic or pessimistic? And one reason is, it is not possible to know the future. But another reason is, I find both of them useless. Because the optimist has a reason not to fight, and the pessimist has a reason not to fight. The optimist thinks things will turn out well, why do I need to fight? The pessimist thinks things will turn out bad, why do I need to fight? Things will turn out well if you fight. That's my view. If, then I'll be optimistic if more people fight. I have two minds on the success of PragerU, which is 1 billion views a year, mostly young people. Just yesterday at the Warsaw airport, I came LA, Warsaw, Copenhagen. A young pilot for LOT came over and asked for a selfie. Right? The Polish pilot, Polish airline, young man. So I'm happy about that, of course. But also, I'm realistic. Most LOT pilots don't know who the hell I am. Let's be honest. In other words, yes, we're touching a lot of people, but we're not touching most people. And I think of that just as much. So I don't think of optimism or pessimism. I think, what do I have to do? And the fact that you found us is very heartening to me. It's wonderful. But you're not the majority either, as you know better than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is not something that has spread just by itself. America is under attack from within, and it's a concerted effort, and it's deliberate destruction from within.
Correct.
How did this come about? Because why do you destroy your own country?
Mm-hmm.
This is really what is frightening a lot of people in the
right
world. We're watching Americans destroy.
So I have a number of formulas for life. One of them is, let's see, what is it? One moment. Oh yeah. Affluence plus secularism equals boredom. And boredom leads to chaos. Boredom is a very, very big factor in human life. People don't think about it. People who are bored need excitement. And if you have no inner structure of values, destroying is exciting. Antifa had the happiest time of their life in 2020, tearing down buildings, throwing things at police, burning police cars. This filled their bored secular lives with meaning. How many Antifa went to church that Sunday? Close to zero. It's a very, and I'm a Jew saying this. That's why I fight for a better, a stronger Christianity in America, even though I'm not Christian. I know what's good for America. I know what's good for the West. So again, affluence plus secularism equals boredom. Boredom equals a desire for excitement. And the excitement is not the excitement of composing a symphony. It's the excitement of destroying. That's the easiest excitement.
But surely you know Dostoevsky, The Possessed.
Yeah. Oh, Dostoevsky. Yes, of course.
The Possessed.
Yes.
Because there was an element of obsession, and something demonic.
That's right. I agree with that.
And there is something demonic.
There is.
Today.
Correct. And the interesting thing theologically, Jews don't believe in the devil, but this religious Jew is starting to understand why people do. It does seem demonic. That's exactly right. And Dostoevsky was a prophet. Where there is no God, all is permitted, from Brothers Karamazov. The European Union, in its charter a few years ago, did not mention Christianity. There would be no Europe were it not for Christianity. You don't have to be a believer to tell the truth. Why didn't they tell the truth? There is a place called Europe only because there's a thing called Christianity.
There are those terrible stories today. This 12-year-old girl in Paris called Lula, have you heard about her? Yes. And the press tried to suppress it because it's so horrible. She was killed by an illegal Algerian woman. She was tortured, raped, put in a suitcase, and put in the backyard where she was living. And it's a little bit like David Duprat and Paul Pelosi in Los Angeles, which is like a picture of what Democrats have brought America to, you know, homelessness, nudism, drugs, sex, total chaos. But this girl, 12 years, she was so beautiful. She was killed by this Algerian woman. And she had those numbers on her that they think may be a satanic ritual.
She had numbers? I didn't know about the numbers.
So this is Europe, and the other is in Los Angeles, and they're both emblematic of the West today, the old world and the new. Because Paul Pelosi is like Charles Manson. I mean, there are some demons coming out of
the... You mean the man who attacked Pelosi?
Yes. When you hear his story, you recognize all the demons from the
people
past.
Are going crazy.
People are going crazy.
That's right. Well, and the elites are the craziest. There's no such thing as man or woman. You're crazy. You have gone crazy. Men menstruate means you're crazy. You have lost touch with reality. That's what crazy means. I know.
So what is the antidote to these?
The antidote, I believe, are Judeo-Christian values. There are wonderful secular people. Obviously, there are secular conservatives whom I adore. But who is the wonderful? Douglas Murray. Douglas Murray is a great thinker. And he is either atheist or agnostic, but he's certainly irreligious. You don't have to be religious to understand that we're doomed without religion, without good religion. There's bad religion and good religion. And Christianity had a bad phase. I'm not romanticizing Christianity, but at its core, it is Bible-based. When I asked this man, Juan Williams, on my radio show, he wrote an article attacking Christian nationalism. The New York Times has a piece against Christian nationalism every other week. I work with Christians. I'm with Christians most of the time. I never heard the term in my life. I literally don't even know what it means, but the New York Times constantly talks about the threat of Christian nationalism. So I said to him, what is it? And he said, and it blew my mind, the Ten Commandments. Pushing the Ten Commandments is Christian nationalism. My life is devoted to pushing the Ten Commandments. I'm Jewish.
Is this the same guy who was on the fire?
Yes. That's the man.
There was something about it that...
Uh-huh. You should hear the tape of my show. I salute him for coming on my show. Almost no one on the left will come on my show. I am so courteous and respectful, you should only know. I had Howard Zinn on my show before he died, which is the only way you can have someone on your show.
Isn't this really Antichrist?
From a Christian perspective, theologically, it is the Antichrist, yes. Not any given individual, but the movement. It is the antithesis of the biblical worldview, to put it in the most general phrase. That's why secular conservatives have to confront this. They have to see, I have a very simple thing to secular conservatives. Your grandchildren will be leftists. That's the way it is. If you don't give them a religion, they will find a religion. And the religion will be feminism, environmentalism, humanism, Marxism, but it won't be Judeo-Christian, and it won't be conservative. It's a very big mistake secular conservatives make, thinking they can keep conservatism alive without the religious soil that gave birth to it.
So why do secular people have this resentment towards Christ?
Well, I could speak about resentment towards God specifically, or more generally. It comes from the Garden of Eden story. The serpent says to Eve, when he tries to persuade her to eat from the tree of knowledge, the one thing they were not allowed to do. You could eat from every tree, just not this one tree in the garden. And the serpent says, you eat from that tree, you will know good and evil, and you will be like God. People want to be God. That is the root of it all. God will not tell me what is right and wrong. My heart will tell me what is right and wrong. That is leftism in a nutshell.
And this is called hubris.
Hubris is the word.
And will God punish us?
If there is a just God, these people will be punished, not because of their beliefs, but because of their behavior.
Kjære seer, hvis alle 5000 seerne som ser på vipser 10 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV-budsjettet i en halv måned. Om alle 5000 seerne vipser 20 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV i en måned. Så lenge vi jobber sammen og alle bidrar, om så bare litt, så kommer vi en lang vei. Det hviler på oss, altså på deg og meg, å sørge for at sannheten kommer fram, og at Document bevarer sin rolle som det medier egentlig skal være, en vaktbikkje. Uten dere så klarer ikke vi det. Og uten oss så sitter dere igjen med medier som løper myndighetenes ærend. Vips til 638941, 638941, fordi ditt bidrag gjør en enorm forskjell.
I have one more question, and I'm sorry to pull the level of abstraction down. I'm a journalist on a conservative media, and I wonder why there are so few of us. I would say the media is extremely left wing and very biased. I would like you to hear your explanation of Has it always been like this, and what creates this dynamic? And will there ever be a market for actually where people will want to read the other perspective? Because I just wonder when the truth, if the truth is a good thing, why is it so difficult to sell?
That's a good question.
Well, there are many wonderful questions there. So I'll respond and then you tell me if I've dealt with what you're asking. Number one, all good is achieved by outliers. Is outliers clear to you? An outlier is the exceptional human, the exception. All good is achieved by outliers. The mass do not achieve good. This is, I'm sorry to say, I wish it were not true. Most people do not want to be the nail that sticks out because it gets hammered down. It takes courage to be you. This is a compliment, but I'm not saying it just to be complimentary. And courage is the rarest of human good traits. There are many kind people, many nice people, many honest people, but there are very few courageous people. Courage is the rarest of the good qualities. It takes courage to go against the mass. It doesn't matter what the mass says. If the mass says men give birth, it takes courage to say men do not give birth. It's amazing. 10 years ago, it didn't take courage to say men did not give birth. 50 years ago, you would have been sent to a mental institution if you said men give birth. So understanding that all good is done by the courageous few, that is just, how many Dietrich Bonhoeffers were there in Germany, right? Why didn't every Christian pastor say, I fear God more than Hitler? I believe that part of the secularization of Europe is because Christianity did not do what it needed to do in Europe. And that's a very sad development.
But now we see that people are seeking out the truth, at least via your YouTube channel, and still there are the regular medias, like they are almost non-existent. And is it because that?
I'm sorry. What's almost non-existent?
Right-wing media, at least in Denmark.
In Denmark, right. That's America is the worst on the left, yeah. But it's also the best on the right. Yeah. America is both extremes. We have the most organized conservative opposition to the left in the world. PragerU is an example. Daily Wire is an example. Jordan Peterson is an example. TPUSA is an example. I mean, and the incredible number of websites, American Greatness, Town Hall. I mean, it just I could spend 5 minutes naming them. That's true. That we do have, and we have talk radio. Which has been my profession for 40 years. This is a big deal. There are more people who listen to talk radio than watch Fox News many, 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 many times over. I have as many listeners as almost any conservative television host in the world. And that's just talk radio. And Rush Limbaugh had more than me. So this is a good thing in America. And I wish you had it. I do wish you had it. I would like to do a talk show in Denmark where there was simultaneous translation into Danish. That would be...
Just do it in English.
I know, you're right. Yeah, because so many people here speak English. Yeah. It's a great European trait, multilingualism.
Well, I see that, in that way you are more organized and we have a special task ahead of us in Denmark, I feel, yeah.
But among the common people, there is a different sense than at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, the fish is rotting from the head down.
Correct.
So if you happen to be amongst ordinary people, it's a different story. They are still...
Yeah, but they're not fighting.
They're not,
and they're voting against their values.
Of course they do.
So it almost doesn't matter.
But
they know there's only men and women. They don't believe there are 36 genders. That's true. But they vote for the party that does believe there are 36 genders. That's the tragedy. Because they get free stuff. I mean, I just learned, coming here to Denmark, you don't have Uber.
Yeah.
That is a scandal. It is a moral scandal.
Yeah.
A handful of people stopped something that is good for everybody.
Yeah.
There's a perfect, and people vote for that party. Mm. That, so there's a perfect example. Mm. I rented a car.
Because people are not interested in freedom.
They're not. Yes, exactly. And even if they disagree, they still vote for that party because they believe that on the left, they care for people. That's the myth of the modern age. The left cares for people. The right doesn't. That's that. If you hear that every day, you believe it. Just like if you hear men give birth every day, you believe it. What people hear every day, they believe, but not you. So the better question, or as good a question as any you asked me, is how do you explain you?
I don't know. I've always, when people agree too much, I feel...
That's my point. Your nature.
Yeah.
That was my opening point.
Yeah.
But we didn't quite finish the question. If truth is so convincing,
yeah.
You know,
yes, by the way, truth is convincing, and if we are allowed the same amount of time as the left is, we will convince half the population. That's why they want to shut us up. That was my point. The left, in their hearts, know they're lying, but they don't know it in their mind. And they act as liars act. We will not allow others to speak. We allow others to speak. That is a conservative principle. You don't agree with me? Please come on my show. But they don't have that. Knowing that they can't handle having people differ with them. Why are you against nuclear power if you are so concerned with global warming? Here you have clean energy. It is the safest form of energy we have. It is the one that works. 70% of France's electricity comes from nuclear energy. Why aren't you for it? They don't have an answer. Why are you for giving 2-year-olds a vaccine when no 2-year-olds are dying from COVID? So at the best, it's useless, and at worst, it's harmful. They don't have an answer. They just call you misinformation. That's what the Soviets did. Whenever you differed with Pravda, it was misinformation. There is no distinction between most American newspapers and Pravda. That was why I told you I learned Russian to read Pravda, not to be able to speak Russian. I wanted to read what they told their people. And reading American newspapers today is just like when I read Pravda in graduate school. It's the line, the official left-wing line.
And still they talk about the big lie.
Of course, that's right. That, yes.
So how can people differentiate?
It's very hard. Well, that's why this was asked to me. Have you ever seen my fireside chat? Oh, you would love that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's your next project.
Yes.
I have 206, yes, with Otto. I'm very touched that you know Otto. It's with my bulldog who sits next to me. But it's called The Fireside Chat. It's a half hour, 262 weeks in a row. And you can watch any week you want. And that was asked to me. It's mostly young people who watch and send in questions. So just this last week, How do I know which is true and which is not? And I gave a good answer, I think. Figure out which side doesn't allow you to hear the other side. That's usually an indication of which side is lying.
Yeah. What was it about you at young age, as a kid? Mm-hmm. And you said that the people who came to visit your father...
Yes. Oh, yeah. You really have. I'm very flattered. Thank you. Yeah. So what I okay. So this is when I look at me from outside of me, and so I take my ideas more seriously than I take me. I'm just Dennis, but the ideas are important. And so, just to recount, when I was 15 years old. On Sundays, my father would do his accounting work at home. Monday to Friday, he went into Manhattan. We lived in Brooklyn, New York. He went into Manhattan where his office was. So they would come to the house, his clients, and some of them would come 1 hour earlier just to speak to me. And I kept thinking, I'm 15 years old. Why are they coming an hour early to speak to me? These people are 50. So I asked one of them. I again, looking at me from outside of me, I said, I'm just curious, why do you come an hour earlier to talk to me? I'm 15. And the guy said, you're interesting. And that was how do I know if I'm interesting? You don't know yourself what you are like that. I mean, if you have perfect pitch in music, you know it. Nobody has to tell you. But that... Oh, wow. And I thought, oh, wow, I'm interesting. How, that's interesting. I didn't know I'm interesting. I'm glad he told me. So why is she who she is? Why was I who I am? That's what I mean. There are every generation, a certain number of different types are born. Listen to this. This is fascinating. You may have heard me say this. And if you know that story, you've heard a lot. So I told you I'm preoccupied with good and evil. I'm as preoccupied with good as I am with evil, because people are not basically good. Human nature is very flawed. And so I want to understand, why do people do good? So I have studied non-Jews who rescued Jews in the Holocaust. That was an incredible act of goodness. Different religion, different ethnicity, stranger. They may get killed by the Gestapo if they're caught. Why did they do it? So I read a book about 40 years ago. I don't remember the name, which is very disturbing. I wish I did. And they analyzed rescuers of Jews in the Holocaust. And they gave four traits. Three of them were common sense. One I had never heard. And they said, we found that a great number of the people who rescued Jews in the Holocaust were considered eccentrics before the war. You know eccentric? This is my outlier theory. And I thought, wow. People who are prepared to be different will do more good. The herd, the sheep, don't do good. And every generation produces the quote-unquote eccentric, a certain number, thank God. But it's our task to bring others to our ideas. Christians did not explain Christianity. Jews did not explain Judaism. Americans did not explain liberty. Europeans did not explain Europe. This is the tragedy. You must explain, or you will not have adherence. That's why I think my Bible commentary is so important. I'm explaining the five books of the most important, the five most important books.
So just to make sure I understand your point, you say you must explain Europe, for instance. You mean we are born here, so we take everything for granted.
Yeah. Exactly.
You
right.
have to explain it as the sort of
Europe is not just a continent, it's an idea.
Yeah.
But what is the idea?
And then there is the revelation at Columbia University.
Right.
Which is really awe-inspiring.
Yeah, that was my one revelation. And I don't say it came from God. I say it was an epiphany, not a theophany. God didn't appear to me. But yes, I was walking through Columbia and I kept asking, why are brilliant people teaching me nonsense? In the 1970s, I'm looking at you, you weren't born yet, way later. In the 1970s, I was told at Columbia that men and women are the same. This is not new. It's worse today, but it's not new. And I thought, why am I learning nonsense from brilliant people? And out of nowhere into my brain came a Bible verse that I said last in second grade, between second grade and the age of, well, I guess I was 22. I had not heard this verse once. And all of a sudden it came back to me. Wisdom begins with fear of God, from the Bible. And I realized, oh my God, there's no wisdom at Columbia because there's no God at Columbia. That was a big moment in my life. There is no secular institution in the Western world that has wisdom. Name one. And the most secular institution is the university, and it's the least wise, most foolish institution. That's a very big indictment.
I don't have any more questions.
We could go on, but when I grew up, there was a university with good scholars, and the word scholar was currency up until the 90s. I used to look at all the good books that came this year.
Me too.
And now there is.
If I was told this is a professor of history, I thought, wow, now I think he's a dummy.
So what happened?
What happened to doctors? What happened to school teachers? What happened to rabbis, priests, and ministers? What happened to the Pope? The left has corrupted everything. That's the answer. It's tragic.
So you can understand a conservative or religious Zionist who wants to rebuild the temple. You know, why cannot we pray on the Temple Mount? You can understand this yearning in the face of all this secularism and hate.
Right. Look, it's absurd that Jews can't pray at the Temple Mount. It's absurd. I agree with you. I'm a religious Jew. I'm not animated by that as much as other religious Jews. But I your point is extremely well taken. I am more interested in Jews bringing the Torah to the world than I am in rebuilding the temple. But I certainly honor that desire.
Dennis Prager?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you.
I hope we will meet again.
I hope so.
Here,
maybe in Norway.
Maybe. I would love you to come to Norway.
I would love it. I'll just tell you, I've been to 131 countries. It's the only thing I brag about, literally the only. And because that's a big accomplishment. It's not easy to get to that many countries. I'm not a travel agent. I'm not an airplane pilot. Anyway, so I began in my 20s. I went up the Norwegian coast to Nordkap, to the very top, and then over and down through Finland. So I was in Lapland, and you know how I did it? I had almost no money. It didn't matter. I still traveled every year. I went on a postal boat, a Norwegian postal boat. I slept in the bar. That's how I got to the top of Norway.
That is resourcefulness, I would say.
Yeah, well, everything happened in high school. In high school, I said, I want to see every country in the world before I die. I won't achieve that, but I won't be far.
Kjære seer, hvis alle 5000 seerne som ser på vipser 10 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV-budsjettet i en halv måned. Om alle 5000 seerne vipser 20 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV i en måned. Så lenge vi jobber sammen og alle bidrar, om så bare litt, så kommer vi en lang vei. Det hviler på oss, altså på deg og meg, å sørge for at sannheten kommer fram. Og at Document bevarer sin rolle som det medier egentlig skal være, en vaktbikkje. Uten dere så klarer ikke vi det. Og uten oss så sitter dere igjen med medier som løper myndighetenes ærend. Vips til 638941, 638941, fordi ditt bidrag gjør en enorm forskjell.